So I kind of just want to follow up that question. You've spoken a lot about, so to speak, deceased voting and cross voting. So I want to kind of move to the 2012 election and to ask you all this research you've done at the time. Do you think it had an impact during the election that year?
I think the impact on that was more more psychological than anything else. Mathematically, heck no. We drop in the bucket. Those dead voters we found, they were people who were registered to vote, but the only ones I'm convinced after, really sitting down and looking at the eaches with all the different county boards of elections, that there might have been a couple of them that were opportunistic double voters, voting for their dead, grandma or something like that who passed away recently. But there weren't a lot of them, and so we realized that. So did we save the world from dead voting? What we did do was we put any bad people on notice that if they are going to dead vote, they better think twice. They might get caught. And so that was one aspect. The other was the response. There were just a couple of things that were very interesting. First, the Democrat Party, we didn't, they were watching us. They weren't talking to me, but they were watching us. And so I knew this because everywhere I signed up to be an observer, there would be an attorney from the Democrat Party who'd sign up to be an observer too. And finally, the second time that happened, we're just chatting away. We're breaking all the rules. We're not supposed to talk to anybody, but we're just having great conversation. And I'm not doing my job of observing because I'm enjoying the conversation more, but it was still. Finally, I looked at him and said, "You're here to observe me, aren't you?" And he kind of blushed. And so there's kind of that. And then also, I noticed the NAACP in Wake County had actually requested UN observers come into Wake County. And so I think, see, the false narrative they'd built up from True the Vote, this is circling back to the stereotypes that the left threw at True the Vote in 2010, which is when they first did this and had great success. And I just got to digress and tell you this, that True the Vote, they were so successful. They had observers everywhere. And in Houston, that's a big deal. And on late in the day, there's one technique called flooding the zone where people come in and they vote for all the people they need to vote for who they've in their get out the vote effort, they found out they're not going to vote. And when you do that, you flood the zone, you've been finding out all day that people aren't going to vote. You're like a boiler room calling people, "You going to vote? You going to vote? Can I give you a ride?" And I've done it. I worked in that boiler room for Mark Early in Virginia. And Early, if the lady, she's, "No, I'm not going to go. I'm too discouraged." It's like, "God, we lost one." And it's just like, "Let me get this straight. Because of something you read this morning in the paper, someone saying a lie about Early, you're not going to vote now." She goes, "No, I'm not going to vote." And so we just kind of throw our hands up and go, slam the phone down and go, "Oh, we lost one, guys. Sorry." But in Chicago in 1982, it came out in federal trial that they were saving those names. And at the end of the day, if they needed those votes, they'd send people in to vote for them. And we'd seen that phenomenon in Fayetteville where at the last couple of hours, suddenly 30 or 40 people showed up at a precinct to all vote for Rick Glazier, the guy who was a guy who wound up winning by 39 votes that year. So we know that happens. And in 2010 in Houston, the new Black Panthers, this wasn't publicized like the one in Philadelphia was, but the new Black Panthers came in with billy clubs and ran off the True the Vote observers late in the afternoon. So we figure they were about to flood the zone and they didn't need witnesses for it. So this kind of thing does happen. And so some of that, we didn't have a lot of observers in 2012, but because of our work, the Republican Party, they had a lot of observers. And I mean, they had a lot of observers, and they really took it on as a very serious initiative. And so you never know what didn't happen because observers were there. That's just the nature of crime. If you see a policeman on the corner, you'll never know what crime didn't happen. But we think it had an effect, and I think we had a fairly honest election for a change in North Carolina that year, despite the fact that no ID was required.
And just to jump in, do you think like you mentioned Fayetteville, like you were saying there are efforts to flood the zone, and same thing in Houston. Do you think there are still sort of conspiracies in the same way as the obviously Chicago machine politics in the 1980s is quite an operation. I mean, you're saying that still goes on
Oh,
and
yeah. Okay, let me talk about Chicago machine politics. I hope you read that report I say. A
yeah.
grand jury report. That report was kind of read and put away. The grand jury expected it to change the world. They expected everybody to go and fix their laws. Nobody did, except Mexico, oddly enough, with the voter ID that they recommended in that report. No state in North America did that. The only country that did it was Mexico. So their elections are more honest than ours are in that regard. And so, but what they did, they laundry listed just a whole bunch of ways to commit fraud. And yes, nursing homes. Yeah, we eyewitnesses. I actually had a guy's daughter. She was in a a group home, had the mentality of a 4-year-old, and she got dragged in to vote. And they were the Barry Center, a place of severely mentally retarded. I hate that word, but mentally handicapped people. And people paraded in there and registered them and voted for them. Those people didn't know who they're voting for. And so there's different kinds of fraud. There's different flavors. And so we know that kind of machine voting is still going on. Curbside voting, for some reason, they put a loophole in the voter ID law that doesn't require an ID for curbside voting. And we had a senator, he was all mad, hot under the collar, and he was going to fix it for us. And then he was told to shut up and color. So he actually put a bill in, and he was a powerful senator, too, but he failed at getting that fixed. Instead, they went the other way, and they created more loopholes and last summer. So it's a, short answer. Yeah, there's a lot of ways they can steal elections. Some of them are a lot harder now because of the voter ID laws. They're not impossible, but it'll slow them down. And if you can slow them down, that's half the battle. Mm-hmm. So that's a long way to say yes. But so, he was asking the question.
Yeah,
so to follow up on that, yeah.